Well, kiddos, come on up. I know we have a few here. Good to see you guys here with Grandpa. Wonderful, wonderful. I like your pretty dress. It's beautiful. Yes, very nice. Look at my tie. Look at my tie. Look at that. Nice. Good to see you all. So I want to ask you to help me this morning to finish this sentence. Ready? Finish this sentence. I think that we should pray for all the fathers for what? We should pray for the fathers for what? Should we pray for the fathers? What
do you think?
To be smart? That would be good. A smart father is better than a not smart father. Very good. What else? We should pray for the fathers for?
Lord.
For the Lord, to know the Lord? That's a very good one. Pray that all the fathers would know the Lord. What else do you think?
Pray that all the fathers would be saved.
Very good. Pray that all the fathers would be saved. Excellent. What else? She said, they would love the mommies, right? That they would love their wives. And I'll add one, that they would love their children. Gio, you have anything to add? What should we pray for the fathers? What do you think? Got anything? No, Mr. Bashful over there. No, I didn't have anything to add. Well, you know what? I'm going to sum all of those up, and we're going to study this morning. We should pray for all the fathers to be blessed. And you know what? If they are blessed by God, I think they will love their wives and love their kids. They will be saved, right? So let's pray for that. All right? Let's pray for our dads. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for all the fathers who are represented here this morning. We want to honor our fathers as you command us in the Word. And we do pray, Father, that every dad here, every grandpa, every father, and every man in this place, every husband, would be blessed by you. And I pray that your Word this morning would be to that end. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Good job. Very good job. Off you go. And if you would, please, let's take our Bibles and open together to the book of James. Denise and I are seeking to memorize the book of James. We're finding it a challenge. We have three chapters memorized. Don't ask us to recite it right now, but we have three chapters that we are able to recite to each other on a typical weekday morning. And we're about halfway through chapter 4. And as I was reviewing chapter 1 this week, and I came across James 1:25, I stopped and I thought, you know, that might be a good verse to stop on for Father's Day. And so I'm glad that I've had the opportunity to look into this verse this week, and I hope that you will look intently at it with me. James 1:25, I entitled the message this morning, "This Dad Will Be Blessed," because this verse promises blessing for a certain kind of person. James 1, verse 25. "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." I'm not going to go a lot into the historical background here. You could learn from the first verse of this chapter that James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, was writing here to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. He begins with greetings, and then he begins with very practical exhortation from start to finish. But not only is James here speaking to the 12 tribes scattered abroad, the Spirit of God is speaking here to us. And in verse 25, the Spirit of God is speaking to us about a certain kind of man or a certain kind of person. What he says here is applicable to all Christians. But we're going to look at this in light of fathers this morning without apology. We're going to look at this in light of men, in light of dads. And I want you to notice the Spirit of God describes for us this certain man, showing us four things about him. Okay, you ready? This is our outline this morning. Showing us four things. Number one, what he has. Number two, what he does. Number three, what he becomes. And number four, what he will experience. What he has, what he does, what he becomes, and what he will experience. Let's look at them in order. And these all concern the dad who will be blessed. Number one, what he has. The dad who will be blessed has the perfect law of liberty. Look again at verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, this is what he has. In order for him to look intently into it, he must have access to it in some way. So what is the perfect law of liberty? Is it the law of Moses? No, it is not. The perfect law of liberty here is a reference to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it is. This dad who will be blessed has the gospel. Look back at verse 1:18. James says, speaking of God the Father, of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Now James here is teaching part of the good news, and that is that God the Father, of His own will, this is not of the will of man, but of the will of God. John 1:12 teaches exactly the same thing. God, by His will and by means of the word of truth, He births us. Speaking of the new birth, a reference to when sinners are regenerated to faith in Jesus Christ, God the Father, of His own will, brought us, speaking of believers, brought us forth by the word of truth. Well, what is that a reference to? Let me ask you this. According to the New Testament, by what power does God regenerate sinners? I'll help you. Finish this sentence with me. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Very good. For it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. The same thing is stated for us in 1 Corinthians 1:21. Here, a different reference, but yet a reference to the gospel. The gospel is the word of truth. It is the means by which God regenerates and grants new life to sinners. And in 1:25, it is referred to as the perfect law of liberty. He who looks into the gospel, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, he who looks into the word of truth, this one will be blessed. Now, before we move on, why would you call the gospel the perfect law of liberty? I'll give you three reasons. Number one, it's perfect. Number two, it's a law. And number three, it brings liberty. That's why. The gospel is perfect. The word here where he says the perfect law of liberty, the word perfect means complete. There's nothing to be added to the gospel. The gospel is complete and sufficient as is. It is the faith once for all delivered to the saints. And the Father who will be blessed, He has that. He has the gospel. And it is complete. Second, the gospel is a law. It is called elsewhere the law of Christ. The gospel is the law of Christ. It's not an opinion. It's not a suggestion. The gospel is authoritative revelation from God by which men are to live and by which men will be judged. Take a look down at 2:12, James 2:12. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. As those who will be judged according to the gospel, as Paul says in Romans 2:16. So why call the gospel the perfect law of liberty? One, because it is perfect, it's complete. Number two, because it is a law, it's the law of Christ. And number three, because it is the gospel that sets men free. You might recall that Jesus said to certain Jews who had professed to believe in Him, this is John 8:31, they professed faith in Him, but Jesus said, "If you abide in My word, then you are My disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Free from what? Free from slavery to sin. By nature, we are born into sin, and by nature, we sin. Sinning comes naturally. Not only that, but by nature, apart from a work of God through faith in Jesus Christ, we are slaves to sin, unable to set ourselves free. And if you don't understand that, you won't understand the gospel. You will veer off into universalism, or you will veer off into this idea that man can save himself apart from the gospel. Neither of those are true. The fact is that ever since sin came into the world, sin spread to all men like a fatal, deadly disease. Right? And therefore all die because all have sinned. We are desperately, all sinners are desperately in need of the work of God through Christ and through the gospel. So James rightly calls here in 1:25, he rightly calls the gospel the perfect law of liberty, the once for all delivered and complete law of Jesus Christ that sets sinners free. The dad who will be blessed, he has that. He has the gospel. So before we go on, let me ask you, fathers, do you have the gospel? Do you have a New Testament? And if you're here today and the answer is, I don't. Well, then I'm going to go out on a limb here with my fellow elders being here. I hope this is okay. But there are Bibles in every row. And if you're here today and you truly do not have your own copy of the gospel, we would love for you to take a Bible with you so that you'll have one. Second, what he does. This dad who will be blessed, what does he do with the gospel? Look again at 1:25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. What does he do? Actually, there are two things listed here that this father does who will be blessed. First, he looks into the gospel. Does that mean he takes a glance? Earlier, there's this comparison to a mirror, and a man might say, well, I don't look much into the mirror, and that's why I don't look much into the gospel. Well, looks into is literally stoops down to look intently at. And it's used of the apostles and certain women in the gospels. On the day when Jesus Christ rose up from the dead, they went out to the tomb. They had heard that the tomb was empty. They went out to the tomb and they stooped, watch, like this. You're stopping and you're stooping and you're seeking. I was trying to think, like a woman looking for a bargain at a yard sale. She stops and she stoops. What is that thing? And if she finds a deal or a bargain, she goes home and says, look what I found, honey, a brand new frying pan. Are we collecting those? Or maybe like a father who's looking for, guys, what do we stop and stoop and look for? Tools. There you go. A father stopping and stooping and looking intently for tools. Only this dad with the gospel, you know what he's looking for? Truth. He's looking for truth. How do we know? Because it says in 1 Peter chapter 2 that we are commanded by God to long for the pure milk of the Word. The pure milk is a reference to truth. So what does this man have? He has the gospel and he looks intently into it. He takes time out, and as one man said, he's like a man with a do not disturb sign around his neck. He doesn't want to be disturbed when he's looking intently into the gospel because he believes that there's truth in there. There's food in there. He takes the gospel and he looks intently into it. And there's a second thing that he does. Look again at verse 1:25. But he who looks intently into the perfect law of liberty and continues. It is the word abides. Now you might think that this means he abides for hours and hours in Bible study like pastor. A really good dad, he's got to be spending hours and hours every day in Bible study. You know, maybe he does. But that is not what this is saying. It really means he looks intently into the gospel, and he might look intently in there for 15 minutes. But then what does he do? He abides in what he learns there. That's what this means. He abides in the truth. He abides in the words of Christ. He doesn't veer off to the right or to the left. He abides over the course of his life in the Word of God. That's what this means. It's like Jesus said, if you abide in my word, meaning not simply you abide in a Bible study. There are actually people who abide in Bible studies, but they don't abide in the word of God. They don't do what it says. They abide, they go to Bible study, but then they go out and they live their lives not like they learned in Bible study. That happens too. What this man does is he looks intently into the gospel and he abides by what the gospel teaches. By the way, he does this in sharp contrast to many other men. Look again at verse 25, James 1:25, and notice the first word, but. telling you that this man is in sharp contrast to what it says before this. Notice verses 23 and 24. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But the man who will be blessed, he looks intently into the word of God, and he abides in what it says. So number one, this man who will be blessed, this father who will be blessed, what does he have? He has the perfect law of liberty. He has the gospel. And number two, what does he do? He looks intently, and by the way, it is what's called a gnomic aorist. If anybody cares, Brother John Rouse I know cares. But it's written in such a way that this is what he does as a regular pattern of life. This is the way he is. This is the kind of man he is. Oh, does your husband, does your father, does he look intently into the Word of God from time to time? Yeah. That's the picture. Does he abide in what he learns there? Yeah. That's the picture here. This man is a man of the Word. He looks intently into the perfect law of liberty. He abides therein. And he becomes, over time, a different kind of man. Notice third what he becomes. The dad who will be blessed, what does he become? The verse really, it reads like this. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and abides, having become... There is no and, okay? He abides, having become not a hearer of forgetfulness, which means not a hearer who is marked by willful neglect, willful forgetfulness. But he becomes a doer of work, a doer who is marked by work. This one will be blessed in what he does. What does this person become? Over time, he becomes not the kind of guy who looks at the Bible and goes off and does his own thing, but he becomes the kind of man who looks into the perfect Word of God, he abides in it, and he actually does what Jesus says. You say, well, what would that look like? Let me ask you, if you had to narrow it down to one command that would sum up all the perfect law of liberty, you had to narrow it down to one command that began with L and was four letters, what would you narrow it down to? Love. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. John 13:34. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Romans 13:8. You, brethren, have been called to liberty. Right? This is the perfect law of liberty. You, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. And as James will say in the next chapter, James 2:8, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. What is the Spirit of God showing us here? He's saying there is a certain man who will be blessed. What does he have? He has the perfect law of liberty. He has the gospel, which is complete. It is the law of Christ, and it sets men free. And what he does with that is he looks intently into it as a characteristic of his life, and he abides in what it says. What will that look like? Well, from the context here, here's what that would look like. When he falls into various trials, what's he going to do? He's going to count it all joy. He's going to find reasons to rejoice in the midst of trials. And he's going to be blessed. He's going to have joy in his trials. Why? Well, because he knows that the testing of his faith will produce patience. And he's going to let patience have its perfect work, that he might become complete and perfect, lacking nothing. What if he lacks wisdom? What's he going to do? He's going to ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. And that wisdom is going to be given to him. It's going to be one of the blessings. And when he asks God for wisdom, he's going to ask in faith with no doubting. Why? Because he knows. He who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. That's the picture. What else is that going to look like? Think about for a moment Colossians 3. You might turn there if you want just for a moment. But I noticed in Colossians 3 we have the picture of somebody who is a husband, who is a father, and who is a worker. So imagine a man, he's married, he's got a wife, maybe he's got children, and maybe he's got a job. And according to Colossians, we get a picture of what this man would live like. Look at Colossians 3, beginning at verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. Then a word to children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as man-pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. So I want you to picture with me a man who's married, has children, and has a job. And let's say he's like the man who will be blessed. He has the gospel. He looks intently into it and abides, having become not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. What is this man going to be doing with regard to his wife? What's he going to be doing? Loving her. Why? Because that's what Jesus says. He's going to be loving his wife, and he's not going to be bitter towards his wife. That's a blessing. And this is the man who will be blessed. What's he going to do with regard to his kids? Verse 21. Here's what he's not going to be doing. He's going to be not provoking them to anger. Right? Don't provoke your children. The idea is he's not going to be provoking them to wrath. He doesn't want his kids to become discouraged, so he's going to think and he's going to say, Lord, is there anything I'm doing that provokes my child? How can I avoid this? I don't want to be provoking my kids to wrath. From Ephesians 6:4, we could say he's also going to be raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What is this man going to be doing with regard to his boss at work? Obeying him. Really? That's what he's going to do. He's going to say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to obey my boss. According to 1 Peter 3, even if he's got a bad boss, he's going to obey him. Unless the boss tells him to do something that he knows is against God. But otherwise, this man is going to be seeking to obey his boss in all things, not with eye service as a man pleaser, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. In everything outside of his relationship with his wife, relationship with his kids, and relationship with his boss, outside of those three things, what will he do? Verse 23. And whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not as unto men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. In everything else he does, he's going to do it heartily. He's going to do it as unto the Lord when he's fixing sprinklers, when he's fixing your car, when he's changing the oil, when he's fixing the faucet, when he's working around the house. He's going to do it heartily as though he's doing it unto the Lord. This is a blessing. Back to James 1. That's what this is going to look like. And as he falls into various trials, as he does all those things, he's going to find joy in that because he knows that his faith is being tested. So what will he experience? What will he enjoy? Look now again at James 1:25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, the gospel, and abides in the gospel, in what it teaches, becoming not a forgetful hearer, becoming not the kind of person who hears and then just goes away and forgets what he heard, but becoming the kind of person who actually does the work of Jesus Christ as it's commanded in the gospel, this one will be blessed in what he does. Notice it says, this one. Which one? The one who does this. And it's not this big burden. He just looks intently into the Word of God now and then, and he abides in what he learns there. By the way, without shame, I will give an advertisement that on almost every single day of the week, we elders are seeking to help you to look intently. We have Sunday school class here on Sunday mornings. Brother John Rouse is teaching verse by verse through the Gospel of John. I'm teaching verse by verse through Romans. I do not understand, unless you have like this really good excuse, I don't understand why every man is not in Sunday school on Sunday morning. Help me with that afterwards. Rebuke me sharply if I need to be rebuked. But I cannot understand. If it's because you can't get out of bed, get out of bed. Yes, wake up. Get out of bed. Come to church. We're helping you look intently into the Word of God because we want you to be blessed. And I can't think of better books to study on Sunday morning than the Gospel of John, verse by verse with Brother Rouse, or the book of Romans with me. I mean, two great books. It's not too late to jump in. Get out of bed. Because God is telling you, you want to know who's going to be blessed? I'll tell you, it's the man who looks intently into the gospel. Monday morning. Now, there you got an excuse because you're at work. But if you're not at work, you could come Monday morning at 10 and eat pastor lunch. What is it? Have the pastor for lunch. You can rip apart his sermon with him present. He takes it well. You can review. You can ask questions. We have a great time on Monday mornings. So there you kind of have an excuse. But if you can come, come on Monday morning. Tuesday nights. Pastor Jerry is going to start into the book of Titus. One of the goals will be so that you be blessed. And he's going to talk about elder qualifications and how to live and adorn the doctrine of God. How to be evangelistic in your lifestyle. And we have a great time. Yeah, there might be reasons you can't come on a Tuesday night. But if you can, you ought to show up. Thursday mornings, well, we're on summer break. Friday mornings at Docs, we go through books of the Bible and we share. And we share our prayer requests with one another. And we share favorite verse and challenge verse. Saturday mornings once a month at men's breakfast. In other words, in lots of ways, we are helping you to look intently into the Word of God and abide in it so that you will be blessed. And here, the Spirit of God is promising this one, he will be blessed. So what kind of blessings do you think he'll enjoy? You remember Psalm 1? Psalm 1 says essentially the same thing. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the path of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Day and night. One of the blessings that that man enjoys is satisfaction. Where it says his delight is in the law of the Lord, it means his fulfillment, his satisfaction. Guess what? That is liberty from constant discontent. Looks into the gospel, and he is freed from continual discontent because he finds satisfaction in the Word of God. And then it says he will be like a what? A tree. A picture of stability. Liberty from constant instability. And you know how many men suffer from constant discontent and constant instability? God wants to set you free from that. This man who will be blessed, he'll enjoy spiritual satisfaction. He'll enjoy spiritual stability. And he'll be like a tree that is planted by rivers of water. What is that? Sufficiency. Spiritual sufficiency. This man will be blessed. He'll be set free from this continual feeling that just what he has is not enough. He gets into the Word of God and he's like, man, I got more than enough. I've got so much food here for thought. He'll be like a tree by the rivers of living water who brings forth fruit in its season. What is that? Productivity. He will be liberated from continual unproductivity. You know how many men are unproductive when it comes to spiritual things? The promise to the blessed man is this guy is going to be bearing fruit in his life. He's going to be making disciples for Jesus Christ. He's going to see the fruit of Christ's likeness in his own life, and he's going to see the fruit of Christ's likeness in the lives of men that he disciples. He's going to bear fruit to God. He's going to be like a tree that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf does not wither. What is that? Immortality. Freedom from death. And in whatever he does, he what? Prospers. That's prosperity. Is this a prosperity gospel? It is the spiritual prosperity gospel. It is the promise that this man who looks intently into the Word of God and abides in what Jesus says and stops being the kind of hearer who's marked by forgetfulness and becomes the kind of doer who's marked by work, this man is going to be blessed in all the ways that God promises such a man. Yes, he's going to be spiritually prosperous. He's going to endure temptations. Verse 12 of chapter 1, James 1. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. This man is going to endure temptations. He's not going to stray. He's going to continue with Christ. And one day, he's going to receive the crown of life. You know what? Every man in this place, listen to me. If I had one prayer for you, and it is the prayer I pray for you, it is that you truly would be blessed. But you know what? God is telling you here who is going to be blessed, and it isn't the guy who neglects the gospel or who hears it and walks away. They say there are three kinds of men who pass by the church every Sunday morning. Number one, they're kind of the kind of men who pass by and never come in. The Bible calls those men either ignorant or apathetic. Then there are the kind of men, and sadly I fear this is a large class, there are the kind of men who come by and they come in. And they hear the sayings of Christ, but they don't do them. Jesus likened them to a foolish man who builds his house on sand. And when the floods of judgment come, his house will fall and great will be its fall. But there's a third kind, and they're the rare kind. Then on Sunday morning, they don't just pass by, they come in, they hear the word of God, and they actually do it. Jesus likens them to the wise man who builds his house on the rock. This says that that man who looks intently into the gospel and abides in it, becoming not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, he will be blessed. And not only in the future life, but blessed in this life now. So I guess the question is, do you believe him? Do you believe this? You should. Number one, it is the word of God. And number two, there are many men of God, as I look around this room, there are men of God in this room who could stand up and testify, you know what? By the grace of God, I looked intently into it, and I do look intently into it, and God has blessed me. He's blessing me in the work I do for Christ. He's blessing me in my marriage. He's blessing me with my kids. He's blessing me in my workplace. He's blessing me out in the community. And there are men in this room who would stand up and say to you, you should be like this man. So a couple questions by way of application. Number one, I know I already asked this, but I'll ask it again. Do you have the perfect law of liberty? Do you have the gospel? And if you don't leave here without one. We will give you a Bible today. Number two, do you look intently into it and abide in it? Are you a doer marked by work? You should answer that for yourself, and you should ask whoever knows you best in this life. If that's your wife, if that's your son or your daughter, you should say, would you say that I am a doer of the Word of God who is marked by work? You should ask that of somebody who knows you well. And if not, if the answer is not, now's the time to change. And you know one simple change that I think some of you men could make? Turn off the television and turn off the smartphone and turn off the internet. Add up how much time you spend texting, surfing, or watching the tube. Add up that amount of time this next week. Do a little budget for yourself. How much time did I spend television, internet, smartphone? And compare that to the time you spent looking intently into the gospel. And at the end of the week, compare. I was on my way to an appointment this week, and I happened to stop in at Goodwill on my way. And when I was at Goodwill, I saw somebody I knew. And this person said to me, could I tell you something, Pastor? You need to tell some of the men to turn off the television. And then that person walked away, and I said, this must have been from God for Sunday's sermon. So I'm telling you men what I heard this week. Some of you men probably need to turn off the TV. Forever? No, I didn't say forever. I'm not trying to set up. I'm not a legalist here. I'm just saying, hey, take a half hour out and say, honey, you know what? Let's not watch that half hour show tonight or whatever it is. You know what? Let's just spend some time reading the Word of God and praying together. Very practical tip. If you have the gospel, and if you do look intently into it and abide in it, then I do not need to ask if you are blessed, because this verse tells me that you are. And for that, I rejoice. If you're here this morning, and everything I've said is just like, what's he even talking about? If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, you've never trusted in him, you've never become a follower of his, let me tell you, I want to help you. I personally want to help you to know Jesus Christ. If you would come see me afterward, if you would call me on the phone, my number's in the bulletin, if you would write to the email on the church website, I personally want to help you with your questions about the gospel, your objections to the gospel, what it means to live for Christ. I'm offering my services to you personally, no fee, free of charge. I want to help you. It's my privilege to serve you in that way. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your encouragement. You are our Father. I know that you want us to be blessed, and therefore you've given us this verse that encourages us, encourages every one of us with what to do with the gospel. And I pray for all the men in this room today, and my desire for them, Father, you know it, is that every single man in this place and every single man who hears this sermon would be blessed in what he does. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.